Jesse Kelly Show, and I am going to get to those calls in a few. If you're speed dating, you have three questions, non-political questions. What are you asking them to see if they're getting the early hook? 877-377-4373. Also, if you missed any part of the show, the whole thing's on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. We're going to get to a couple emails before I get to this FBI thing. Because, look, this... it's a really big deal what's happening in this country with America's administrative state. It is the most dangerous thing happening in the country because they have the power to destroy your life. You don't have to get convicted and end up spending the rest of your life in prison to have these people destroy your life. If they have become partisan agencies, and all signs point to the fact they have, partisan agencies that are aimed at only the right, that is like a DEFCON 5 type thing. That needs to be cleaned up and stopped now. Let's get to some emails first, though. Jesse, the Oracle, many guns, gay bear extraordinaire. Now that Elon has mussed up Twitter, very clever, I see many people celebrating the return of free speech. I'm doubtful. Even if he strong-arms the wokeified Twitter censors, the government is still large and has an enormously vested interest in controlling speech. Do you think Elon pulls off free speech on Twitter? And if he does, what's the regime's next move? Look, you remember what Jen Psaki said? I played this for you last night because she said it yesterday, but I'm going to play it for you again. And I didn't even want to dwell on this or go too deep in it last night because it was such a happy moment, and it's still a happy moment. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I want you to listen very closely to this communist.
Well, I'm not going to comment on a specific transaction. What I can tell you as a general matter, no matter who owns or runs Twitter, the president has long been concerned about the power of large social media platforms, the power they have over our everyday lives, has long argued that tech platforms must be held accountable for the harms they cause. He has been a strong supporter of fundamental reforms to achieve that goal, including reforms to Section 230, enacting antitrust reforms, requiring more transparency, and more. And he's encouraged that there's bipartisan interest in Congress. In terms of what hypothetical policies might happen, I'm just not going to speak to that.
It is interesting that Joe Biden is interested in more transparency because he just got found out to have had $5.2 million in income he didn't declare. But setting that aside, you heard what she just said. We have a corrupt system. And man, I didn't even want to say this because it's such a Debbie Downer, but we got to be honest about things. We don't have a corrupt FBI. We don't have a corrupt media. We don't have a corrupt education system, a corrupt Democratic Party, a corrupt Republican Party. We don't have corrupt sports leagues. We don't have a corrupt corporate America. It's all corrupt. That's why we call it the system. All of it is corrupt. If we just had what if it was just the movie industry, right? Just the media, or not media, just entertainment. And remember, unlike other people, I don't say, well, Hollywood doesn't matter. Yes, it does. The entertainment of any culture matters a lot. It helps guide the culture. It helps teach people, especially children. This is good. This is bad. This is acceptable. Entertainment matters a lot. But let's say our culture was still a sane culture that knew the difference between men and women and stuff like that. Let's say our culture was still a sane culture, only Hollywood was as nutso as it is now. But it was just Hollywood. Well, that wouldn't be a big deal because the other parts of our culture would keep that part in check. You understand? That's why it's so important to have your cultural pillars not join forces against you. Because if they're not joined against you, then, I mean, if the education system gets out of line, then you have the rest of the country, media, politics, entertainment, stepping up and saying, whoa, what's with this corrupt entertainment system? What's with this corrupt education system? What's with this corrupt FBI? You should have other pillars. We don't have other pillars. all the pillars are controlled by the exact same ideology, from the FBI to the education system, your kid's college professor, to the actor, to the athlete. They all think the same thing. To the people who guide social media, they all have the exact same political philosophy, and it ain't yours, Jack, and they think you're the enemy. So what does that mean? It means we can celebrate things like this Elon Musk thing while also being aware we do have a million miles to go, and we also have to be aware of this. We're going to get some things, inevitably. It's just the way the pendulum swings. We're going to get some things that are wins, where we claw back some ground and we feel like we gain something, and we're going to get plenty of these things taken back away from us. That's just the nature of I mean, by the grace of God, I it's not a hot war, but I use the term war because that's what it is. We are in a cultural war for this country, and you don't win them all. Sometimes you gain ground. Sometimes you lose ground. Sometimes you lose the ground you just gained. That's just the nature of the beast. Could I see the system, federal government, FBI, who knows who else, ganging up on Elon Musk and making sure they get rid of him? Well, how many times have we talked about corrupt, nakedly corrupt systems finding ways to get rid of anyone who challenges them? Of course I could find that out. To which people will reply, well, he's the richest man in the world. Yes, and that helps. Obviously, he's got plenty of juice behind him. Plenty of lawyers, hopefully plenty of personal security. But is that enough to take on an entire system when it's every cultural pillar against you? Probably not. And that's not me saying it's not going to work, or he's not going to do free speech, or they're going to get him. Maybe this will all work out well. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer and bring you down. I'm just letting you know we're never going to see final victory. They're too entrenched. Maybe our kids will, or their kids after them. Our job is to fight. Win some battles. We're going to lose some battles. We scratch and claw and take back as much ground as we possibly can. These people, the people who we're up against, they do hate us. They are against us all the way. All the way. They have nefarious plans for us. How nefarious are those plans? Here's Democrat Senate candidate from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman.
Do you believe transgender women should be allowed to play on women's sports teams at the youth through college level?
Yes.
Those are the plans. Those are the plans. They believe men should be women, 10-year-old boys should chop their penises off, the border should be wide open, taxes should be sky high, you should have no personal privacy or property, and government should run everything. We are up against forces of evil. Learn to fall in love with the fight and learn to accept sometimes, not all the time, sometimes we're going to take two steps forward and then have to take five steps back. We'll get it back. All right. All right. You want a little preview of what we're up against? My friend Matt Walsh, he wrote a children's book called Johnny the Walrus. It's essentially a book teaching children you can't change your gender. You are what you are. Well, Amazon, it's run by the second richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. He's a card-carrying communist, so are all the people who work for him. This is long. This is very long, longer than I normally play. I want you to listen to some of this meeting from Amazon.
It's about a book called Johnny the Walrus. And I want to be very clear, the next two are about books. And I saw someone say, oh joy, we're going to talk about one of them, because it's been a very traumatic experience for transgender Amazonians and our transgender customers. But Johnny the Walrus is a bit of a problematic book. Not a bit. It is not a bit of a problem. It's one hell of a problem. And I would preface this about what the book's about, but the customer we're going to listen to does a great job. So let's go ahead and listen to this customer.
To report a book that you are selling
I just checked your website, and the book is still up on there. It is by Matt Walsh. It is teaching kids to kill, well, to bully transgenders. Yeah, to bully them into committing suicide, the LGBTQIA, especially.
That's the largest, that's a private meeting. That's the largest, most powerful company, I believe, on the planet. That's what they believe. We have powerful forces against us, which means we have to be smarter where we spend our dollar, right? I'm just as guilty as anyone else. Do we not have to be smarter where we spend our dollar? Should we be supporting these companies? Or should we support companies like PureTalk? Do you think we should support the mobile company that actually stands for your values? Or should you send your money to Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile every month? PureTalk has the same 5G network as one of those big guys, only they have American customer service. They have never and will never run any ad campaigns that dump on your values. Their CEO's a Vietnam veteran. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. You can be switched over in less than 10 minutes. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I hate thieves. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm going to get to your phone calls in a second. I'm sorry. I was just venting to Chris during the break. I freaking hate thieves so much. So here's the deal. You know, I don't actually know why I hate thieves so much, because I'm a bad person. Everyone knows I'm a bad person. It's just no moral compass whatsoever. Just a bad human being. But I've always hated them. I want to know if something happened to me in my childhood or something. And I mean, hate them. I hate them. We had some construction guys. They had to come into the studio to do a new AC thing, do a bunch of AC stuff. Okay, fine. No big deal. Well, all the big stuff is still here. All the cameras and fancy microphones and computers and stuff like that. My phone charger's gone. And let me be clear. There are only three people who walk into this office. Me, Chris, Michael. Nobody else. The maid comes in, but we're here when she's here. Which means the construction workers, one of them grabbed my phone charger and took it. And these guys are laughing at me. I'm irate about it. I want Chris to call the project manager now. I want my phone charger back. And you don't understand. I've tried to press charges for stuff like this before, and the cops will tell me it's not enough. Like, that's how much I hate thieves. What, Michael? Is that weird? I don't know why. I'm sure it's something wrong with me. What if he did it on accident, Michael? What? Oh, yeah, he accidentally bent over and took my charger and stuffed it in his pocket and walked out of the office with it. He didn't do it on accident. He did it on purpose. And that's my phone charger. It's the principle of the thing. It's the principle of the thing. It's not about the charger. You know, that's enough. I'm getting my blood pressure up. Gosh, I hate thieves. We're getting to the calls. It'll make me feel better. 877-377-4373. We got Lisa Booth with Fox News coming up about 10 minutes from now. But before we get to her, we're going to ask you. You're speed dating. You sit down. You get three questions for the other person. Non-political questions. You can't say, did you vote for Joe Biden? You get three questions for the other person to see whether or not they got a chance or they're getting the hook. What are those questions? And before I get to the phones, I can already tell I need to clarify something once again. Yes, I'm a bad person. I've never claimed otherwise. But this has always been and will always be a family show. A little rough around the edges, sure. We have some fun, sure. Families listen to this show. Parents listen to the show with their kids. Kids listen without their parents' permission. There are kids listening. So keep that in mind before I get to your questions. I'll give you the hook before I let it air. You all right? Bob in Denver, what are your three questions, sir?
First one, and I'm 77 years old. This is nothing new. I've been doing it for years. I don't know how the speed dating crap, God, I don't know. But anyway, first question I ask is, you want to get a room. Second none is when I say, hey, can I get your girlfriend's phone number? And the last one I ask is, why did you slap me?
Bob, I just, you know, sometimes it's the salty old timers who are the worst. Larry in Idaho Springs, go.
Jerry, seriously, question number one, are you spiritual? Do you have a higher power?
Okay.
Question number two, can you live like in nature? What I mean, like away from the city, that right. hustle and bustle, that craziness that's in the cities.
Right.
And question number three, can you live without all this new electronic technology?
I love it. That's a good list. It's an old school list. That's an old school man who wants to keep living old school. Kira in Idaho, go. Kira, are you there? I think we lost Kira. Shannon in Colorado, go.
Hey, first I wanted to tell you that my husband sings me the Rick Springfield, Jesse's Girl song all the time because every day from 4 to 7 he knows I'm listening to you. the first one would be, do you believe in God? Second, how important is family to you? And the third one is, do you listen to the Jesse Kelly Show?
That's a good list right there. That's a good list. Tom, in New York, what are the three questions you're asking someone on a speed date to see if they're getting the hook?
All right. I'm 64. My priorities are a lot different than a younger person. But first question is an easy one. Can you cook? Second one, do you or someone in your family have access to a country club? And three, do you or someone in your family have access to an awesome fishing boat? That would be important to me.
Hold on. Tom, I just want to be clear. You're trying to mooch boat and country club access? I so respect that.
Yes, that would be very high on my priority list.
I love it. Oh, Johnny in Jersey, what are your three questions?
First would have to be, do you like to travel? And that would be both by air and by land. Second would have to be, do you like kids? Because I love my kids and I spend a lot of time with them. Third is, do you like dogs? Because I like dogs and I spend time with them.
That's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list. Jack in Idaho, go.
Yes, sir. Former Marine, 3rd Tank Battalion, Okinawa, Vietnam. Do you smoke? Are you married? Do you got kids?
One, Semper Fi, sir. Two, do you want her to smoke?
No.
Okay. What do you married is probably a very good one as well. Good for you and Semper Fi, my brother. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. What are the three questions you're asking on a speed date to see whether or not they get the hook? Jackson in San Diego, go.
All right. So I asked over 50 women this in 2019 when I was going through my dating phase. First, do you plan on staying in California long term? Second, do you have or plan on having children? Third, do you smoke or do drugs? Those are the deal breakers.
All right, Jackson, I just want to be clear. You dated 50 women in 1 year?
I went over 50 first dates.
Gosh, that's freaking amazing. Well done, sir. 877-377-4373. You know what? We're asking Lisa Booth this with Fox News next. Oh, gosh, turn it off. This is terrible. Did Lisa pick this song? Good grief. Joining me now, Fox News' very own Lisa Booth, my friend who apparently can't pick music at all. Lisa, that was awful. Do you actually listen to that for fun?
Yeah, you don't like Outkast?
I don't. I wish I could outcast that song from the planet. That is dreadful. Speaking of which, before we get into the meat of all this, Lisa, you're speed dating. You got to sit down, three questions you get to ask the fella to see whether or not he's getting the hook. Non-political questions. What are your three?
Well, I would never speed date, but one, if I did, I would ask, like, what his relationship's like with his mom. I would mention I worked for Fox News and gauge his reaction. And then I would sort of observe and see how he treats other people there. Because I feel like if you're a jerk to, like, the waiter or you're a jerk to people around you, they're probably going to treat me poorly.
Okay, that's fair.
But
I feel
sort
like,
of my, like, I like to observe, you know, like, sort of, like, try to, like, have be a little more organic and just sort of, like, observe how they act and...
Me too.
Try to sniff out if they're full of it.
Me
you know?
Too. I'm a super smart person like that too. All right, Lisa, let's move on.
I mean, obviously.
Well, obviously. Yeah, let's move on to the news of the day today, which is Joe Biden not declaring $5.2 million. Now, it's being covered, but not a lot. What possible decent explanation could there be for him whoopsieing $5.2 million?
Because it's under the table. He's the big guy, right? Like, I mean, we all know Hunter Biden's emails. It was 10% for the big guy. I mean, you've got – he flew Hunter Biden around on Air Force Two to China and helped grease these deals with, you know, Chinese business partners. And then Hunter Biden just miraculously gets things approved after the trip, right? Like, I mean, hello. He helped grease the wheels for it, and then he was making money under the cover. I think it's pretty obvious.
Lisa, did the system push too hard? It just got too corrupt and too nakedly corrupt. They were too in our face about it. And now that's why we're starting to see the beginning of a big backlash.
You know, I think a lot of it was Trump, actually, because I think like a lot of these politicians have known how corrupt D.C. is. Like, I didn't even know D.C. was this corrupt. And I used to work on Capitol Hill for a period of time. I mean, I got jaded while I was working there. I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize it was this bad. I think Trump was really the guy to, like, call it out. I mean, all this stuff was happening. We know D.C.'s been corrupt. I mean, power corrupts, right? This is what our founding fathers warned against, knowing that power corrupts. That's why we have checks and balances. And so I think a lot of this stuff had been going on. And then Trump sort of called it out and, like, tweeted it out and let people know. And then, you know, yeah, I think to your point, they did overreach with Russiagate and, you know, personally targeting the Trump campaign and then also giving the Clinton campaign and the Trump campaign two different treatments. Right. You know, they let Hillary destroy evidence with hammers and, you know, they let Huma and Cheryl Mills lie to FBI agents. And then, you know, they go after Michael Flynn. They go after Papadopoulos and they put a special counsel on, you know, Trump. I mean, he's probably the most investigated man, like, you know, maybe in American history. And they've not been able to find anything.
Speaking with Lisa Booth of Fox News. Lisa, I want you to listen to something here. I'm sure you've already heard it, but this is Sunny hosting on The View today.
And in fact, on Twitter, it is predominantly straight white men. So when Elon Musk says, wow, this is about free speech, it seems to me that it's about free speech of straight white men. And so let them have it. Let them just go at it. I enjoy the block button on Twitter. I think it has a real outsized influence in our world because politicians and celebrities are on it.
Lisa, you famously almost got hired by The View until you told them to go pound sand when they tried to make you get vaccinated. Are you sure you would have wanted to work around people like that all day, every day?
Well, and then Sonny ended up getting COVID, which is just like the chef's kiss, like the cherry on top of all of it, which is precisely, you know, I told them what would happen is that it didn't matter if I was vaccinated or not. You know, anyone could bring it in and pass it around the table. So I'd be like, it would have been fun to be there and, you know, bat that down, right? And say how stupid that is. And then first of all, what loser blocks people? First of all, you mute people so they don't know that you blocked them. You don't give anyone the satisfaction of knowing that, you know, you're not trying to pay attention to what they say. You mute people.
I disagree. You and I are about to have a big fat disagreement on this. I disagree. Here's
right.
What happens on social media when you block somebody. Yes, you're right. They get about 5 seconds of satisfaction, but the satisfaction they got before was being able to be obnoxious to you. You block them. Of course they repost it and they brag to their 15 friends about it. And then that's it. But you have deleted that person from your existence for the rest of time. You've deleted them. You Thanos snapped them for eternity, and they got 5 seconds of satisfaction over it. Don't tell me that's not better than a mute.
But what do you think would bother them more, being blocked or like trying to get your attention and then you're just ignoring them and then they don't know if they're muted or not and then they keep yelling at you and you don't give them a response. It's like, I feel like that fires them up more, you know, so you're basically just like, you know, it's like one of those toys where you're just like winding up and then pushing it, you know, so it's sort of like fun because then they're basically just like, you know, going off and getting all worked up and you don't even know it. So, you know, snow swirled off your back. You're living life. You're happy. I'm looking at the water here in Miami. I'm living my life. This person's working himself up. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of more of a fan of the mute. I think that's more bothersome to someone than like blocking them.
Lisa.
And then you're not like letting them know that they've annoyed you.
Lisa.
You're just letting them get worked up.
You have a podcast. Tell us about it.
I do. So I'm relaunching The Truth with Lisa Booth Monday on May 2nd with Premier and iHeart. So we're basically family now, Jesse.
We are basically family. I, of course, am the older, wiser, more responsible brother. You are the obnoxious little sibling that I will help along as much as humanly possible. No, seriously, it is The Truth
just
with Lisa Booth.
Don't put me in headlocks like my older brother.
Oh, I'm sure you earned those. Lisa, be good.
And I've got, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis is my first guest, so it's going to be a big one.
Heavy D, well done. All right, well, there you go. The Truth with Lisa Booth. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Yep.
I appreciate it. All right, we're going to get back to your phone calls in a minute. We have other things we need to get to. One more thing on the Kamala Harris testing positive for coronavirus thing. Obviously, we made fun of Dome about that earlier, and we were saying prayers for coronavirus because it was now in contact with more diseases than it should be. But setting that aside, Kamala Harris is vaccinated. Kamala Harris has been boosted 10,000 times. Kamala Harris tested positive for COVID. So if you dig into it, you find out she didn't have any symptoms. When did we get to a place in this country where we're testing people for diseases when they don't have symptoms at all? How could she test positive when she didn't have symptoms, unless they're just randomly testing everybody all the time? You understand that everything we did when it comes to coronavirus was wrong, and it was against everything we've ever learned medically in this country, and that it's really important that going forward as a nation, we don't take the things we did during COVID and accept those as, what's that word they love to use, the new normal. We did a lot of very insane things for a lot of very nefarious reasons during coronavirus, and that really, really, really does not need to become the norm. You going to go out and get tested for strep throat today, even though you don't have a sore throat? No, because that sounds freaking insane. So let's not go ahead and do that for coronavirus or anything else going forward. All right, I have a ton of emails. I have to get to the phone calls about your speed dating questions, and we have a concerning development with the second richest man in the world. Uh-oh. But first, let's get to Mantis. Have you practiced with your weapon yet? 10 minutes. 10 minutes with a Mantis X system. You know, 94% of shooters improve within 20 minutes. You want to use what the pros use? You like how those Marines shoot? You impressed by the Green Berets? They use Mantis X. This is military-grade technology that will mail to your home. It attaches to your weapon. You practice inside of your home without spending a dime on ammunition or a dime on gas. You don't need an extra half hour of drive time to the range. You sit down in the comfort of your home and get better. They will put you through drills. They will give you feedback on your shooting. Go to MantisX.com and get one today, all right? MantisX.com. We'll be back with emails, Jeff Bezos, your phone calls. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and don't forget, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. And in case you missed last night's show, last night was Medal of Honor Monday. but it was a little different than even normal Medal of Honor Mondays. We did a two banger. We did two of them last night because one of them was on hero Alvin York, Sergeant Alvin York. And I thought his Medal of Honor citation, because it was prior to World War II, I thought it didn't do him justice. So I expanded on it quite a bit about an hour later in the show. You can catch that on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes, kind of the setup for it and what exactly he did. And I love these so much. You guys can always send me these. They are always welcome 100% of the time. I got emails specifically about Alvin York from people who were associated with the family. And I love this stuff. The first one, I got a couple of these. The first one, Dear Oracle, I was glad to hear you talk about Sergeant York. I have a pretty cool story you might like. My dad was in the 82nd Airborne in the late 40s, and one of his heroes was Sergeant York. He started our family's fabric business that is in North Carolina in the early 70s. He began supplying fabric to a small fabric shop near Pall Mall, Tennessee. Remember, York was a Tennessee guy. One day, my dad asked the owner of the shop if Pall Mall is where Sergeant York lived when he was alive. The owner said yes, and his wife Gracie frequented the shop. The owner took my dad to meet Mrs. York, and they became friends. When my dad was in the area, he would go by her home and give her fabric for quilting. Gosh, that's so freaking cool. When I was growing up, my dad told me about going and sitting with Mrs. York as often as he could, and she would tell him stories about Alvin. I wish now that I would have written those stories down. My dad passed away, but in some of the things we found, a letter written by Mrs. York thanking him for the fabric he gave her the first time they met. She also enclosed a photo of Sergeant York that was taken during his later years. I haven't been able to find another one like it, so it appears to be an original photo. I have attached the photo and the letter. If you read this on the air, you can say my name. Name is Jamie. That is so daggone cool. Gosh, that is so daggone cool. I love that stuff. You guys know I geek out on that stuff. You send me that whenever. I got another one here. The Yorks are apparently, they have wide wings out there. Alvin Cullum York is my cousin. He was a marksman. The area he lived in is Pall Mall, Tennessee, one of my favorite places on earth. His home in Gristmill is an amazing place to visit. My father hunted with him when he was a boy. He was a conscientious objector, but after prayer on the mountain, he reconciled the war with God. Remember, we talked about that a little bit last night. He came to Tennessee and built the York Institute. Education was what he wanted to bring to the poor people of Fentress County. The high school still exists and is amazing. Go Dragons, she says. The York name is precious still to the area. The Grist Mill is currently being renovated, and the park where it sits is beautiful. Your sons would enjoy a visit. I've listened to you every evening since you came on after Mark Levin. I teach special education students, and you remind me of them. That's not nice. I love your belly laughs and who gives a beep attitude. Again, thank you for what you do. Use my name, she says, and her name is Kimberly York. Gosh, that is the coolest thing in the world. I geek out on that stuff so bad. Dang, that's cool. How about that? The York family, man. Hero in the family. All right. To the bat phones. Can we call on the bat phones? That's probably been taken. We might. You know, we didn't name for the phones. I don't think bat phones should be it. We should come up with our own name. Jesse phones? The hook? The hook's not bad. I don't hate the hook. That's not bad, Michael. All right. The three things you're speed dating. What are the three non-political things you're asking your date? Carol in Brooklyn. Go.
It's me. Do you believe in God? Do you have a good sense of humor? And do you like animals?
Oh, I support that. Not bad. Tom in Virginia. Go.
Hey, Jesse, I would ask, how was your day? What's your family like? So you can tell what losers or winners that she might have come from. And what do you think God thinks about all this?
Well, hold on. Look, it's your list, Tom. It's not my list, but why how's your day? That doesn't make sense.
Well, if you ask somebody how their day is, they'll pretty much tell you what they do, who their friends are, what made them happy, what made them sad that day. You know, how was your day?
That's not bad. You know what? That's not bad. And I'll tell you something else, and this applies to men and women. I've fallen into this trap. I'm sure you have too. if you have a crappy day and you get asked how your day was, sometimes it's tempting to unload all that. Oh, it sucked. You know, I'll tell you what, if I woke up late this morning, stubbed my toe, Chris screwed something up at work, surprise, surprise. If you ask someone how their day is and they just unload all that garbage on you, not a good sign. I support it. I support it. Matt in Denver, what are your three questions?
All right, Jesse, number one, does she eat cheeseburgers?
Mm.
Because if she eats cheeseburgers, she's a red meat eater and probably not a tofu eater. Number two, does she drink black coffee in the morning and dark whiskey in the evening? Mm. And then number three would be, last but not least, is there a Brazilian wax job somewhere in the mix?
Matt's. But I should note it. I should note, if you're insisting she eats cheeseburgers and drink whiskey, while yes, there are plenty of women out there like that, speaking of Tennessee, you might also end up with a dude. Lynn in Michigan, go.
Hello, handsome.
Yes,
read
ma'am.
Any good books lately? Heard any good jokes lately? Had any good dreams lately?
Oh, now that's an outstanding list right there. The books thing alone. The books thing alone, if you're a reader. Chris, I don't want to hear it from you, Mr. Audiobook. You have no say in this whatsoever. Bruce in Washington, go.
Good afternoon, Jesse. My three questions. Would you attend church with me every Sunday? Will you spend as much time outdoors with me? And in the event I was ever mugged or ambushed, what would you do to my assailant?
Daggone, Bruce, you're looking for somebody hardcore, sir. All right, we have a whole nother hour of lots of fun. We're going to talk Jeff Bezos, get back to these calls. The three questions you'd ask on a speed date, non-political. 877-377-4373. I got a little behind, so there's a lot to get to. Hang on.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.